Before we get into this episode, I wanted to give a quick trigger warning. This episode does mention past disordered behaviors such as overexercising, tracking calories, and undereating, but it doesn't go into detail regarding numbers or time frames at all. If you are not in a place to listen to this episode right now, please take care of yourself, click away, and feel free to listen to a past episode on this podcast. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Perfectly Imperfect podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Minnie, and I'm here today with a very, very special guest. Her name is Isis O'Flynn Shahoff, and she's my personal trainer at Equinox. We've been working together for several months this year, honestly, a bit on and off, but very consistently the last like 3-4 months.
But
it's been a conversation between us for the longest time for you to come on the podcast. So I'm so excited that you're actually here today. But I want to give you a chance to introduce yourself, share anything that you like, and also how that you got into personal training and what kind of inspired that for you.
Yeah, sure. So I've been a trainer for about 2 years. I got into training because I was a competitive swimmer for most of my life. And then during college, I obviously wasn't swimming because I was pursuing a degree. So I feel like I kind of fell out of touch with fitness a little bit, and that made me pretty sad. So I started working out again, tried to like study a little bit about working out in a way that wasn't just related to swimming. And then had some of my friends and family ask me for some advice on how to work out and how to like, you know, get in shape, get healthier. So I realized like personal training might be something I want to dip my toes into because I could learn a lot as well while working out. It wasn't just fitness. It was like academic as well. And I could also help others. I also was doing customer service for so long, like food service, like most people in their 20s do. And I was really tired of that kind of socializing. I wanted something where I was like deeply impacting people's lives. So yeah, that's kind of how I got into that, and that I've been in love with it ever since.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you've been a wonderful addition to my life, and since moving to New York, I feel like it's just been, I don't know, so grounding to meet someone like you in the fitness industry as well. And on this podcast, I've talked about a lot about like my relationship with movement and food and just how I've struggled with that in the past. So yeah, you've been a very positive impact in that way. And I'd love to hear more about kind of your approach. Like you said, you weren't into fitness so much during college, but then came back into it. Was there a journey alongside of that of how you sort of shifted mindsets and shifted your approach around fitness and food and all of that? I'd just love to hear, you know, your journey with that.
So I like to be super transparent. I was definitely like super disordered when I first started. Like, you know, swimmers, it's one of the most intense sports that you can do. So it's just super like, you are practicing for 2 hours every single day. Like, it's super, super intense. And so I think when I first got back into working out, I was, like, doing all these high-intensity circuits and, like, just doing crazy amounts of cardio, like, tracking the calories I was burning. Like, I got really obsessive with it, but I didn't have a plan and I didn't have a goal. It was just go as hard and fast as you can every single day. Quick way to burn out.
Yeah.
And I started, I was just like, I'm miserable. Everything kind of took a turn for me when my health started coming into play. So I had like nutrient deficiencies and stuff, and I wasn't performing well in the gym, and I wasn't getting any stronger, and like I wasn't performing well with my cardiovascular training. Like, I was just really tired all the time and super dizzy. So I kind of forced myself to like take a step back and change the way that I started working out. I had to slow down a little bit and kind of reorganize my training plan to be more for like just feeling good and performing better rather than just going all in every single time. So that was definitely like a really big shift to go from like competitive swimmer to just like gym goer. So
yeah. And what were some things that like helped you through that period? Like, did you ever face sort of that all or nothing feeling, like I either have to go all at the gym
all the time,
like, because, you know, I have to make up for the for not swimming or something like that? Kind of what did you do to shift that mindset or start to become okay with the slowing down?
I think, like I said earlier, like I really started focusing on my health more than just like expectations for myself performance wise. Like, I was like, do I really want to be showing up every single day feeling exhausted, not moving well, starving, dizzy, like not healthy at all, brain fog, irritated, like all of these things? I was just like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And I think I honestly took it into my own hands to kind of study. I do specialize in like women's health specifically. So I took it into my own hands to study hormones, women's hormones, and like the benefits of strength training and the way to properly program conditioning, or for those of you who don't know, like heart rate training, in a way that was for longevity instead of just like going hard all the time. I also realized it did nothing for me. Like, it didn't even align with my goals, you know?
Right.
I think the biggest thing is to educate yourself on the human body, especially if you're a woman, like hormones.
Yeah.
And also look at what your goals are and see if the training that you're doing even aligns with your goals.
Right.
Like, the training I was doing was just to make me tired. Is that my goal, to be tired every day? No.
No, yeah.
I wanted to move better, feel stronger, and be able to run longer. So why would I train in a way that doesn't align with that? So I think that's kind of the steps that I took initially to help me through that.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I guess that kind of goes perfectly into my next question of, like, what would be your tips for incorporating movement into your routine without it becoming so obsessive and overwhelming? So,
yeah,
like you said, you kind of went through that journey yourself. So if someone listening is in that journey right now, or maybe they feel overconsumed by the all or nothing black and white mindset, or feel like they're doing things and reaching goals that aren't really their own, what would you say to them?
Be very mindful of the media you are consuming,
mm-hmm.
the people you are following. If you're following Gymshark athletes, if you're following High Rocks athletes, if you're following anybody on Instagram that's a sponsored athlete, they are professional athletes.
Right.
The way they train, the way that they show their training is so different than how most people will and honestly should train. Their goals are different. Their background is different. Whether or not you think you're able to push yourself 100% every day, it doesn't mean that you can.
Mm.
It's not about if you can do it. It's about if you can recover from it.
So you've said that to me so many times.
I say this to all of my clients.
It resonates with me, like, so much. Yeah.
Because there will be times where I'm like, you know, let's actually drop the weight today. It seems like it's just a bit too much of a challenge for what I'm trying to do. And most people will be like, no, I want to push hard. Like, let me do it. Of course.
Yeah, I do that.
Because you all want to push yourselves. Yeah. And that's honestly a beautiful thing. But then the next day, you don't recover as well. And then your performance that week is not as good. And that's not what we want to go for. I would normally tell people to just, like, start small as well. So start with, like, 2 days a week, 3 days a week. And it's hard. It takes a lot of discipline to not go into the gym, to know when is the time to break.
Mm.
So definitely, like, have a plan. 2 days, 3 days, make it easy. Even find a coach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also what I did. I had a coach for a while. I still have a coach now. Like, that man keeps me in check for when I'm like, you know, I want to go crazy heavy all the time. He's like, bro, relax.
Right.
So I think you just have to, like, I would say be easy on yourself, but also push yourself in the way that makes sense, not in a way that just makes you tired.
Right.
And then, yeah, back to the media thing. I think that's also super important right now, is everybody's like assuming that they're going to train like crazy athletes or look like these crazy athletes. And it's fine to have these like big athletic goals or aesthetic goals as well, but you just have to go at your own pace and understand that like your journey is always going to be different. And if you try to follow somebody else's, you're never going to get to where you need to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so important. That's so key. Helpful reminder for me too.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I'm not super in like the fitness space on social media per se, but even just, you know, it's just one element that you can compare yourself and start, you know, spiraling about and be like, I don't look like this person. I'm not as disciplined as this person. I'm maybe not, you know, as consistent as this person, but you know, every person's journey is their own. And, you know, as long as it's working for you and making you feel good and making you feel fulfilled, like that is most important at the end of the day, regardless of, you know, if someone's lifting heavier weights than you or running more miles than you.
Yeah.
But then,
with other trainers, I'm like, oh my God, these people have been training for 15 years.
Right.
Or this person can deadlift this amount of weight and they can run this fast. And I'm like, okay, but that's not my life.
Yeah.
You know, but it doesn't mean that what I'm doing now is invaluable or bad. It's not that you're less than, you're just at a different point in your journey, which is fine.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. You've helped me a lot with that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
It helps.
Yeah.
It's hard though.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Moving on to my next question. This is one that I have definitely been stuck in the mindset of worrying about my body changing too much, like while starting to approach strength training. My own fitness journey, I was dancing my entire life, and that kind of became disordered in its own way through ballet and just body image stuff, and then moved on to running, again became disordered and just only did it for the calories and what I could burn. And then as I embarked into my recovery journey, I too slowed down a lot, did more yoga, did more Pilates, did more bar class, which I think is what I really needed. But I kind of always had this, I'd always seen people doing strength training and seen women do strength training. And I think in the last few years, there's been a really good positive shift, at least in women.
For sure.
I mean, there's definitely still toxic stuff out there, but I think I've seen a good shift in women talking about strength training and the benefits of it, but it definitely still took me a while to be like, is this something I want? Is my body going to change too much? Am I going to get bulky or anything like that? So what are like some of those misconceptions that you've heard or experienced maybe? And what would you say to strength training specifically and like the benefits that women can feel from it?
So I actually completely understand the fear of getting bulky. Like when you strength train, when you do any sort of resistance training, hypertrophy training, which is just like muscle gain, you will put on some muscle. Totally normal. But I also will just blatantly say like it's very hard to put on muscle. Especially like the way that people are kind of afraid that they will. And especially for women. There are people who are professional bodybuilders who spend years training with coaches, dedicating their entire life to doing this, and they still fail to put on the amount of muscle mass that's needed for their competitions. I also will say, like, with strength training, it doesn't always have to be the craziest workout in the world. Like, you don't have to be doing, like, sets to failure all the time and working on muscle growth all the time. Like, it's just about moving better and being stronger, not necessarily looking a certain way. Like most of my clients, like a lot of the women come to me, they don't necessarily have muscle gain goals, but they just want to feel stronger. And we've been working together for a year or 8 months, and there's not a huge difference in their bodies. They just move better.
Right.
And of course, like as a woman, it's so important to have a relatively healthy amount of muscle mass just for like your hormone levels, preventing osteoporosis. Women, unfortunately, are actually like more likely to develop osteoporosis than men. And because of our hormones, it's much more important for us to have muscle mass. So I think like kind of how I shifted my own mindset, I encourage a lot of other people to do, is remember your health. That at the end of the day, your health is more important than how you look.
Always, yeah.
And I understand like caring about how you look, and I don't think there's really anything wrong with that genuinely, but I think when that overpowers how you feel, that's when there's danger. And I think it's also so empowering to be strong as a woman, like to not feel like you have to fit into fragility, you know, like being super small and less than, like kind of embrace who you are, like everything that you can be, and just be okay with taking up space. And you know, when you exercise in different ways, you will notice that your body will change in different ways. And I encourage people to just embrace that. Like, be like, okay, it's kind of cool that now, like, maybe my quads are a little bigger. Or, you know, like, I'm able to overhead press a little bit more than normal. And there's always ways to adjust. Right. Like, I always tell my clients, I'm like, if you genuinely don't like the way you're looking through how we're training, there's ways to adjust the training so that you can still look the way you want to look, but also move well and be healthy.
Right.
So it's not like a strength train, you're going to get big. That's the only option.
Yeah.
You know, with strength train, you're going to get a little stronger. You're going to feel a little better. And we can still get you to look the way you want to look.
Right.
So
it's not like bodybuilder is the end
for like, everyone
who picks
that.
Up heavy weights. Yeah.
And like, I'll be, you know, I lift heavy. Like, I love to lift heavy. That's my thing. But that's not everybody's thing, and that's okay.
Right.
I still push people to lift, you know, something that's challenges them significantly, like once a week or once every couple weeks, but the majority of the time it's just getting stronger.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think that's what really has helped me like approach strength training, because I think there was just this fear of my body changing. And I knew that obviously I wouldn't like become a bodybuilder overnight, but I just sort of only saw women doing Pilates with like 3 pound weights. And like that was the thing to do. And, you know, that was the aesthetic goals that everyone wanted, or that was idolized mm-hmm. by society. And so I just felt like there was this big barrier to entry for me with strength training, yeah. but you have like really helped minimize that a lot, because you've just been able to show me like you can lift heavy weights, but you can also lift light weights, yeah. and there's not
great.
Neither one is better than the other. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I've found that it's actually brings me a lot of joy, and it's mm-hmm. fun to challenge myself in that way and feel proud when I, you know, lift something heavier than the week before and yeah. stuff like that. And it doesn't mean that I'm, you know, suddenly trying to become a bodybuilder. It's just yeah. like I'm building strength, and if there's a day that I want to do Pilates with a 2-pound weight, that's great too.
Totally. Pilates is great.
Yeah. It's just, I feel like, you know, I tend to have an all or nothing mindset. Most and I think
do.
Approaching it,
yeah.
I was stuck in that all or nothing mindset. I was like, okay, I'm going to the gym. I'm getting a personal trainer. Like this is, I'm going to become a gym rat. Like, but like, that's not who I am.
Where's
like,
my protein powder?
Exactly.
My pre-workout?
I don't know. For like a week or so, I was like, is this me? But then, I don't know. I think just working with you as well, but also doing the internal work of making sure that I remain intuitive with myself and mm-hmm. listen to my gut feeling. If something doesn't feel right, I don't do it. And I don't have to, you know, label myself as, you know, a girl that only does yoga, a girl that only yeah. does Pilates, a girl that only strength trains.
Mm-hmm.
I can do it all. And you can do it all.
And it's
yeah.
so fun.
Yeah.
It's so much
yeah.
fun.
Honestly,
like, I
yeah.
still do Pilates. I do Pilates at Equinox once mm-hmm. a week. And I'm bad at it. And it's great.
But it's fun.
And I love
yeah.
it. You know, like, it's just mm-hmm. finding different ways to move that make you feel better. Like,
yeah.
that's just the goal at the end of the day. And
right.
again, like, I really just want to reinforce that, like, you will not get bulky unless you put in a lot of effort. Like, you have
right.
to eat a lot of
food. I was going to say, you have to eat a lot as well.
You have
well.
To train
yeah.
a significant amount, like, minimum 3 times a week, like, intense hypertrophy or muscle building workouts, like,
mm-hmm.
eat a lot and
right.
kind of dedicate a lot of time to it. And most people won't do that, and that's fine.
Right.
So
yeah.
just strength train to be stronger. Like,
yeah,
everything's okay.
Yeah. It's really cool. I don't
and
know.
It feels
being
great.
Able to, yeah. Being able to like lift something or do something
yeah.
that I didn't think I was capable of, and just seeing my body change, but in ways that feel empowering
mm-hmm.
is really, really nice.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I think also I spoke about my PCOS diagnosis on the last
mm-hmm.
episode. Or a few episodes ago, I forget when. But I think that has been also a really helpful piece.
It helps a lot.
Yeah, it helps
it's
a lot with hormone balancing.
PCOS, yeah.
Yeah. And I think just remaining active and, but also equally resting when I
mm-hmm.
need, and just not pushing my body to those limits. And you preach that, you know, every single session. Like
yeah.
if I need to go down in weight or something's too difficult for me,
mm-hmm.
like you're on top of that. And, you know, sometimes I might want to, you know, push through, but
and that's fine.
Yeah,
you know, but I'm still gonna.
Yeah, you're still gonna be like,
be
no,
like, actually,
yeah.
And there are times to push, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
There are times when I will be like, okay, this is gonna be really hard,
right?
But it's not every time,
right? Exactly.
And we manage it.
Yeah, just
yeah.
the balance.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever felt like your body is trying to tell you something, but you just can't figure out what? Maybe your energy crashes out of nowhere, your mood is all over the place, or no matter how well you take care of yourself, you just still feel off. I know I've been there. And for the longest time, I thought it was just stress or bad sleep, but what I've learned after being on my own hormone balancing journey this past year is that a lot of these symptoms are often tied to our hormones. This is where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz designed to help you uncover the root cause of your symptoms. After taking the quiz, you get a personalized recommendation to help get your body back in balance. When I took the quiz, one of the recommendations I got was to start taking Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula supplement that fine-tunes the hormonal system and is used by women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. Using only science-backed ingredients, they offer a range of products designed to help you feel like yourself again. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your hormonal issues. For a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code PIPOD at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code PIPOD, P-I-P-O-D, for 15% off today. Yeah. And so moving on to my next question, I would love to know some habits or rituals that you have built into your own life to help maintain this balanced relationship with food, fitness, and your body now. And I know it's a continuing,
yeah.
you know, growing process, but any habits, anything that you do nowadays that really helps you kind of maintain that balance, or maybe check yourself in certain moments if you're, you know, facing a challenge.
Take off the Apple Watch. Oh my god.
Yes.
Take it off.
Mm-hmm.
I was obsessed with that thing. If I didn't wear it, I'd panic. Anxiety flooded through my body.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't eat as much because I'd be so afraid because I wouldn't know how many calories I burned in the day.
Mm.
All of my workouts were based on how many calories I burned, not based on how actually effective the workout was, which is a whole other conversation.
Right.
Take off the Apple Watch. Like, stop tracking things for... If you've been, like, a consistent tracker, stop tracking everything for 2 weeks. You're gonna go crazy for the first week, but then you're gonna feel amazing for the second week.
Yep.
So that's the first thing that I started doing, was just, I took off my Apple Watch. Like, I don't wear it. Like, even...
Nope.
The only time I wear it, truthfully, is when I'm doing my, like, conditioning days. So when I have to monitor my heart rate, that's fine. But then, off, gone.
Yeah.
Like, it's not something, like... It's hard because I think a lot of people want to see calories burned because it makes them think of the effort that they put into the workout. And I do completely understand that. But that's one thing that I consistently make myself do, is just not wear the Apple Watch unless I'm tracking my heart rate.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look at the fitness app. I don't look at even kind of how many steps I've done in the day. Like, none of that. Don't track my calories anymore. Just kind of being okay with being intuitive with your food and your movement helped me a lot.
Mm.
Yeah, that's kind of the biggest one that I think I did and still do.
Yeah. No, that's really great. I mean, I've talked about my experience with my Fitbit, and
God.
I just became so attached to her.
Triggered.
And but letting exactly
<You're> so terrible.
Taking it off has been the best thing I could have ever done for my relationship with movement. Yeah. It's for sure, like the first couple weeks, I didn't know how to approach working out. I didn't know how.
Yeah.
I just didn't have that way to kind of feel good about myself.
Yeah.
But definitely good in quotes, because that's a false sense of good.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, following some sort of number, some sort of external factor, rather than actually listening to your body. But I wasn't able to listen to my body while I was tracking and looking at the number, because everything became revolved around the numbers rather than, okay, do I actually feel good in my body? Do I feel balanced? Am I hungry? Am I not hungry?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not, your body isn't, you know, doesn't know these numbers.
Yeah.
So it's all made up and it's all external validation at the end of the day. So,
and just for people to like really kind of do this, when I was using my Apple Watch all the time, I vividly remember, like, I used to be a member at Equinox, and I still have flashbacks to when I would do my crazy workouts. I just wanted to burn as many calories as I could. I would go into the shower, and I'd be dizzy.
Mm-hmm.
I was sometimes scared of going into the shower because I thought I was going to fall or faint. And I think about that, and I'm like, wow, I would not wish that upon anybody.
Yeah. Yet we normalize it so quickly
so
for ourselves.
So quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just go as hard as possible, burn as many calories, don't eat, like, stay small, feel dizzy. It's great.
You would never tell your best friend to do that.
No.
Like, so why are you putting yourself through that?
Anybody you love or care about, you would never want them to feel that way. And you should be treating yourself the same way.
Yeah.
There's no reason that you shouldn't be looking at yourself the way you would with someone you love.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
I know. I definitely have had moments like that and flashbacks to certain moments running on treadmills and, you know, not feeling good yet pushing through.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just amazing to see how much we've both grown and been able to
especially
reframe.
You.
Oh, thank you.
Come a long way.
I'm now strength training.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Twice a week.
Yep. But yeah. Yeah. I think getting rid of any way to track has been also so helpful for me. So I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, I think it's the biggest one for most people.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I have definitely like tried putting an Apple Watch back on and just like assessing my relationship with it. But I think I'm so far from that place that I was in that it doesn't even give me that same like dopamine hit anymore.
Yep.
Like I can look at the calories and maybe sometimes it'll trigger me, but then I know, okay, that's my sign to take it off. But then if I look at it and it means absolutely nothing to me, I'm like, wow, look how much I've grown.
Right.
So, you know.
That's great.
And that only happened after a long phase of not letting myself wear it at all. So, yeah, that's a really helpful tip.
Yeah.
Moving on, what is one thing you wish everybody knew about finding balance in their fitness and wellness journey as a personal trainer?
It takes time. It takes a long time. I'm still working on it. Like, I really do sometimes find myself, like, being a little restrictive with my food or freaking out if I didn't get my workout done. And it is just something that you have to dedicate yourself to working on every day. Every day I have to challenge myself to kind of push down these negative thoughts that I've had for so long. You can kind of think about it like learning how to write really well. Like writers, they'll write every single day, even if it's just 5 minutes. Like they still make that a daily practice. And I think you just have to be super patient with yourself that it will take a long time. Also, just like lean on your support systems. Like there are so many people around you. I'd actually say most people around you are struggling the way that you are or have. And I think just finding a community or like one other person that you can talk to about this like pretty often helps a lot. That's what helped me, like finding, you know, my cousin was a personal trainer and I always thought she was just like so balanced with food. She would never track her food. And she was like, no, like I actually had a period of time where I was obsessively tracking, like I was overworking myself constantly. So I think just know that there are other people around you that you can lean on and also just take the time.
Yeah.
Like really be patient with yourself.
You can't expect it to change overnight.
No, not at all. And it's also, oh my God, it's so worth it. It's going to be so hard in the beginning. It is. But it is the most unbelievable journey I've ever found myself on. Like, I never thought I'd have the relationship I do with food and exercise now. And it is so freeing to just be where I am. Like, it is so... It used to take over my whole life. Like, it was my whole life.
Yep.
I was the girl with the eating disorder. I was the girl that worked out way too hard. And it, like, I wouldn't go out to dinners with my families. Like, I would not want to go out to certain places because I didn't like the way that I looked, or I would starve myself the whole day just so I could look a certain way, and I was never happy.
Mm-hmm.
I am so happy now in the way that I look and perform and feel, and it's just, everything is so much more enjoyable.
Yeah.
That it's just so worth it, and you're going to be so much healthier.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to just be a unit.
Right.
Like, you're going to be so healthy and capable, and if you start when you're young, like, imagine how amazing it's going to be when you're 40 and you're going to be like, wow, I can't remember the last time I thought about calories.
Right.
How much better is that going to be?
Yeah.
You know?
I've definitely felt the same thing. Like you said, still working on things and reframing certain mindsets as they come up, but just the freedom that you feel once you kind of choose recovery and choose to start healing from those obsessive mindsets. Yeah, just the freedom is, like, unmatched by anything else.
It's so beautiful.
Else. Yeah.
And it feels scary. Fun too.
Yeah.
Yes.
It feels scary to start, and, like, we're not here being, like, it's so easy. Just,
it's
like,
not.
Just choose to heal. But, again, like you just said, everything like that takes time, and you can't expect yourself to change your relationship with movement, change your relationship with food overnight. But, it, like you said, even just 5 minutes a day working on it, you know, that's... I also think of it as, like, self-love, and it's just, like, a way to
That's
take
so
care of yourself.
That's so crazy you just said that, because I was just going to say that. I was like, you have to also, I worked so much on self-love during that time. Like, I spent so much time finding value in myself with where I was completely, with no expectations of myself.
Yeah.
I was like, how I am now? Stunning. Perfect. Did I believe that? No.
Right. Fake it till you make it.
Right. I would wake up every day, and I was like, you love the way you look. Go kill it. And I was like, I know I don't believe this, but you just, you know, you put it into practice. One day you do believe it.
Yeah.
I wake up now, I walk into a gym, and I'm like, yeah, I'm the shit.
Yeah, because you are.
Like, I feel strong. I'm capable. I'm beautiful. Yeah. Like,
and that energy, like, resonates. Like, I feel that kind of radiating off of you, and it really just is... I don't know. It's so much an energy, as much as it's internal and it's something that you work on with yourself. It'll then make you just, I don't know. I just feel like I'm a nicer person to be around and I feel like I radiate better energy. Like, and on the days that I don't feel good in my body and I don't want to be around people, I feel like, you know, as much as you try to hide it, you know, it's kind of, it's harder to be out in the open. So as much as maybe remind yourself that it's too better your internal relationship with yourself, it can also strengthen your external relationships. Like, you know, you're now a new friend and a trainer and a new person in my life that if I hadn't done this work and healed my relationship with movement, I wouldn't be here.
Exactly.
You wouldn't be here.
Right.
Like me.
I also did want to say one thing that actually, like, my boyfriend did tell me about. Fitness is something that you get to do. It is a privilege to eat well and to move your body. It's not something that everyone has access to. You know, there's a lot of people with pretty debilitating disabilities or just like don't have knowledge or are really stuck in their recovery process or not even in a recovery process. Like, you have the ability to get up and move every single day. So why not just treat your body with kindness, do what it can do, and just, you know, like, appreciate what you're able to do. It's so amazing what you're able to do.
Yeah. Just goes back to, like, practicing gratitude for that. Like, if you're able to get up and go to the gym, or not even go to the gym, just go on a walk outside.
Get up, move your feet.
Get up, get out of your bed.
Make a breakfast.
Yeah. That's something to be so grateful for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, I love that. Thank you for saying that. Thanks, Nate, as well.
Yeah, no. Nate's great.
Nate's great. So I guess as we wrap up this episode, one, I want to say thank you again so much for spending the time with me today and coming on the podcast.
So great.
Where can people find you if you want to, you know, use this time to promo yourself?
For sure, I'm going to shout myself out here.
Yes.
My Instagram is IsisTigerOFlynn. Mm-hmm. It's I-S-I-S Tiger O-F-L-Y-N-N.
What is the story of that also?
So my middle name, it's actually kind of a sad story. Sorry to bump down the mood. But okay, I had an uncle. His name was Tig. It's a very Irish name. His nickname was Tiger.
Okay.
He passed away before I was born in a really sad car crash. And my mom gave me the middle name Tiger.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's really cool
though. Sad, but turned beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's my Instagram.
Nice.
So you can find me there.
Okay.
I also write some articles on like women's strength training and health on the public site Medium.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't remember what my username is on that.
I'll put it in the show notes. Yeah.
Like, I don't even know. And then
I've read a few
EP coming out. Yay! And that'll be also posted on my Instagram and everything, so.
Yeah,
I'll add the link. And I'm also at Equinox Soho, if you need a trainer.
Yes.
I'm out there.
Hit her up. Aw, well, thank you so much again
for
coming on the show.
Me.
And hopefully this is not the last time.
For sure. Definitely won't be.
All right, and with that, we will catch you all in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.